Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and we wanted to know, for the rest of the show, we will be talking about domestic abuse, so if this isn't the right time for you to be listening to this, we want to let you know that it will be available later on demand for those of you who might need to listen, and we actually all need to listen, because we need to be allies. We've been discussing domestic abuse and intimate partner violence and the impact of the pandemic, especially with a potential second lockdown looming. Talking openly about what the signs of abuse are and what resources are available to survivors is very important. With us now is Margarita Guzman, Executive Director of the Violence Intervention Program, a Latina-led organization that's been working in New York City for 36 years, providing services to address domestic violence, especially among immigrant communities. Known by its acronym, VIP, the program currently provides services to more than 10,000 New York State residents. Margarita, welcome to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So your organization has this long history of providing services. What have been some of the biggest shifts in need that you've seen since the pandemic started?
Yeah, we have. Thank you so much. So we have been around for 36 years and have certainly seen our share of different social crises, especially playing out in low-income and people of color communities. What this pandemic has brought has been just this remarkable, intersection of crises, this multifaceted crisis where people are both experiencing the fear of the virus itself, the economic devastation that has come along with that pandemic, and sort of really behind the scenes, an increase in escalation of domestic violence and what's happening in the home. People who are not only, responsive to different lockdown orders, but also because so much of our work, our education has become remote, the regular sort of entryways for people to be able to identify abuse and intervene supportively have really minimized so that people are struggling with abuse and feeling a lot more on their own than ever before.
You currently offer several different programs, 24-hour hotline, non-residential counseling, emergency shelter, transitional housing, there's an economic justice program, communications, outreach. How have you been able to continue offering services during the pandemics, and what have been some of your challenges?
Thank you. One of the things that's really unique about VIP is that we have always been community-based. So we're only located in communities where there is a heavy Latinx population and a heavy immigrant population, all of which are low income. So we are already in community and trusted there. When it comes to our outreach, something that we've been doing is partnering with all of the other essential businesses that have remained open throughout this time and all of the specialized responses that came about to address food insecurity, for example. So we have been working with food pantries, bodegas, pharmacies to make sure that our information is available and conducting our outreach in socially distanced and sort of safe ways when we're in community. When it comes to our actual services, we've also translated as much of it as we possibly can to a remote service model using sort of software and platforms that help to preserve client confidentiality and just have had to shift what a counseling session looks like. Instead of a 45 or 50 minute session, it's now anywhere from a 5 to 20 minute session, really a safety check-in, really a priorities check-in to see how people are doing. And that's how we've been able to stay open. Our shelter staff has been remaining in person and on site, doing all of the essential service work that's been required of them to help people who are fleeing domestic violence and to get into somewhere that's a safe refuge.
For people who are thinking, well, if someone's in this situation, they should call the police, but that's not always an option. In what ways does VIP offer other options? And if you wouldn't mind explaining why that's not always an option.
Yeah, let me start with that last part of the question. It's not always an option because communities are sometimes really suspicious or unsure of any unintended consequences when they reach out to NYPD, especially amongst immigrants and people who may not be documented in the United States. any interaction with authorities is something that is actively avoided because they don't want to end up in a situation where deportation or any other immigration consequences might play a role, which is a real hindrance when it comes to immigrant survivors who need to find resources for safety. So at VAP, our focus is very much on practical problem solving and increasing people's safety by providing interventions that are not necessarily legal system oriented, but that will help somebody get to safety, will help them increase their safety overall, and identify what strategies they might be able to use to continue ongoing economic security and housing security. So our focus is very much on providing immediate shelter and refuge and working with people to identify what their economic plan might be going forward, because economics play such a big role in whether somebody can remain outside of an abusive relationship or might have to return strictly because of financial reasons.
My guest is Margarita Guzman, Executive Director of the Violence Intervention Program. What if someone listening to this is really concerned about a friend or a loved one? What are some constructive ways to offer support to someone that you may not know, but you suspect is in an abusive relationship?
Yeah, no, I think that the best thing to do is to have a direct and open conversation with somebody where you're really, really couching everything in the framework of listening without judgment, listen to them without interruption. Be sure to withhold any questions you have that might indicate that you don't believe their story. Just give them an opportunity to tell you what's happening. And create that space so that they know that you're somebody that they can talk to about it, even if they choose to not take any action at the time. And that's really important because so many of us just want to solve the problem. We just want to come in and be able to rescue somebody that we love from an abusive situation. But that's just not how it works. And somebody really has to be ready to take an action instead of being convinced prematurely that that action needs to be taken. So offering information, letting them know that there are services, that there are options, even if they're not ready to take it yet, and that you're going to stay supportive of them no matter what their decisions are, is really critical in making sure that you're listening to them and offering resources. And sometimes the most important resources are really practical help. So going with them to appointments if they want somebody to be a sort of emotional support, taking care of their kids so that they can go to an appointment, just really offering some, you know, paying for the taxi to get there, whatever might be a real concrete way for them to access support. And of course, always offering a hotline number. You know, there are multiple hotline numbers in New York City. Violence Intervention Programs is 1-800-664-5880. And always visiting our website is an option. We have a chat option at our website, vipmujeres.org.
What signs, what should we be paying attention to in terms as allies for people that we suspect might be in a dangerous situation?
Yes, such an important question. So, of course, for physical violence, you should always be mindful of any inexplicable bruising or injuries, any behaviors that seem like somebody might be covering up those injuries. So harder to tell during the winter season, but if somebody's really covered up and maybe wearing clothing that's unseasonably warm, just to make sure that they're covering up their body, then that's something that you should be mindful of. In this kind of COVID and virtual world, sort of consistently not turning on the video or really not wanting to be seen in a way to hide any physical injuries is something to be mindful of. When it's not physical violence that's at play, which is very often the case, a friend or family member who starts to pull away or is becoming less responsive to you when you reach out, it's such a regular thing that abusive partners alienate the person they're abusing away from family or friends, and really showing unreasonable jealousy, even of platonic friendships and family members. Those are all signs. And when you do engage with them or do meet up with them, if they seem distracted and sort of really worried or maybe even scared to not respond to a partner's message immediately upon receiving it, those are all things that you really want to be mindful of. Another impact of abusive relationships is that you really start losing the capacity to make decisions, or the abusive partner is looking to make all the decisions for you. So if you see somebody struggling with really basic decisions or things that they used to do all the time or just a personality shift, all important things to be looking for.
And I know it's not really fair of you, for me to ask you to give advice, but if someone's listening who feels like they are in this situation, but they're in the house with their abuser who knows where their cell phone and knows where their computer is, any thoughts for that person? Anything you can tell that person that might be useful?
Yeah, first and foremost, you are absolutely not alone, and there is nothing that can feel more lonely than being trapped in an abusive relationship. It's a figurative and literal trap. You feel like you can't make decisions, even if there's nothing that is factually keeping you from doing so. So please know that you're not alone. When you call a resource like VIP or any of the other fantastic resources available for people going through these experiences, you should know that we're not trying to convince you to make any decision that you're not ready to make. We're here to hear you out and talk through what the options might be. We won't push any particular resolution if it's not something that you think will benefit you and or your family. And just most importantly, please know that this can change. This situation can be shifted, and there is a way to make it different. We are here to talk with you about what strategies you might need to make that difference happen and at the time that is right for you.
In what ways have you seen the pandemic have an impact on immigrant survivors of domestic violence?
Thank you for asking that. You know, this pandemic came, you know, was compounded after years of anti-immigration policies and increased ICE activity, which has had immigrants embattled for their survival for such a long time now. And I cannot overstate the mental health implications of being threatened by an abusive partner, hunted by abusive governments, and to now feel stalked by a deadly virus. The mental health implications of this are something that we are seeing happening now and that we know will be happening for many months, if not years, to come. It's truly been such a difficult situation for our immigrant survivors who are not just fighting for their life in abusive partnerships, but are also really struggling to maintain any kind of food security and soon their housing security. The moratorium on evictions has certainly not been a rent cancellation, and that feels like an imminent crisis looming large in everybody's mind.
I want to dive in and give this information. The Violence Intervention Program runs the only live-operated bilingual English-Spanish 24-hour hotline in New York City. It offers over-the-phone crisis counseling. If you're feeling unsafe, please call 1-800-664-5880. The city has its own hotline, 1-800-621-HOPE. Margarita Guzman, Executive Director of VIP, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
This is All of It.